Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another fabulous episode of the Ultra Nerd Podcast. I just want to say this really quick. I am just getting over a little head cold right at the moment. So if I sound a little bit off, don't jump to conclusion and think that I have the corona. I just had a little head cold and I'm feeling fine. I tested negative. Everything's hunky-dory. All right, and before I continue on to the podcast, I just want to say every time you guys listen to a podcast episode of mine, it's greatly appreciated because slowly but surely, you're actually helping me through a little bit of revenue here and there through each of the listens and through each of the sponsorships I have. Slowly but surely, we're building up a small batch of revenue. So you could actually help me like pay the bills, make sure that toilet is flushed, and to putting the general food on the table and keeping the lights on. So if you guys are generous enough to have anyone else you know who is interested in some of the stuff I talk about, please send them over to the Ultra Nerd Podcast and tell them to listen to some of the couple of recent episodes I have made. All right? So let's get into the topic of today. One kind of topic I do want to talk about today is a old card game that I have grew up with in the test of times. And no, it's not going to be the one that I have talked about a while ago called Buddy Fight. Instead, let's go way back, like way, way, way back before podcasts or TV, no, streaming services, cross-play ideas, The Last of Us 2 rating system, or even anything else like that before up to this point back in the early 2000s. When I was just a wee little baby, there was one kind of anime and one kind of card game that I loved to watch and collect when I was a little kid and to see every Saturday morning or on Cartoon Network if it was able. That card game was none other than Yu-Gi-Oh! Yu-Gi-Oh! Really stood the test of times, and really it's being still sold today. Yu-Gi-Oh! Is a anime and card game that I grew up with, and holy smokes, I forgot how much the card game was overall. I remember I quit during the time where it had a thing called the Zexal era, where you had these types of cards known as Xyz monsters, and basically, I'm not gonna get into that right now, but I basically stopped collecting and playing the game after there. Overall, back in high school, that's where I started getting back in the game, and holy crap, I have missed a lot. It's not even funny. Like, there's so much things to the card game that has changed. Like, to starters, there's, like, the ruling system, there's, like, the cards, there's, like, different archetypes, there's, like, it's, like, more in-depth, there's different types of combos, there's different monsters, spells, anime, manga, you name it. It is absolute hibbity-bibbity whack, y'all. And it is awesome. Like, there are so many different types of cards out there. I can't even express what deck is the best way to start off for beginners. It's literally overwhelming, trust me. But not only that, the card game has a big, big changes to it now, where Konami is just like throwing those cards out as if they're like $1 bills. It's not even funny. And like, let's go back to the original for a second. At first, the card game was like very simple because some YouTubers on YouTuber net called YugiTubes, I like to say it is, that they would actually show some older versions of what's deemed to be the meta decks with like some basic monsters with high attacks, some effect monsters that have like simple attacks like search for this card, add to your hand, or like destroy a trap card, destroy a set card your opponent controls, and so on and so forth. Very, very simple stuff, right? And now you have decks that are like, oh, I summon a monster that helps me summon another monster. That monster's effect lets me draw two more cards. And that guy that I just drew into my hand specials it summon itself. And when it's special summoned, I get to dance the dance of what the death. Oh my gosh, but yeah, it's intense. It is a really intense card game, and honestly, it is kind of hard to I would say to teach anyone the extreme basics of Yu-Gi-Oh to begin with, because, like, for example, there are like a, I want to say there's a plethora of things already. That's kind of hard to believe that there are. Like, for example, there's like Link monsters, there's these ones called Ritual monsters, there's Effect monsters, Normal monsters, Fusion, Synchro, Pendulum, Ritual, Xyz, and so on and so freaking forth. There was like a whole bunch of cards that I cannot even get into, that this game is so dang complicated. And not only that, it is so complicated that I think it will take this podcast a good hour just to get over how to play the damn card game. But fortunately, I don't need to do that, and everything is on the internet, so you can basically, if you want to be learning the card game, look up a YouTuber's account, and bada bing, bada boom, you're there. But it still really is complicated. And the cool thing about it is a lot of the cards are also chump change, literally. They are literal chump change cards. Like, for example, recently I went to my local game store to buy a few other cards. I have in my hand right now over 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 cards in my hand right now, right? All these 11 cards in my hand cost me over $2 at best. And that's crazy. And a lot of these cards, they're not that bad. Like, the art design is really not that is really good too. Some of them are pretty standard, pretty basic. Like, some of them could be also really over the top as well. And much like, no, you know that one time when you look up a card, such as in Yu-Gi-Oh, and this happens for Magic the Gathering too. So, quick story. I was opening up two different packs, one from Yu-Gi-Oh, one from Magic the Gathering. I got two shiny ass cards, right? I went on to tcgplayer.com, I look up the cards, and guess what? Those two cards were also chump change. Yeah, believe it or not, a lot of the cards, either like shiny or not, could be chump change, depending on their value, depending how long they were been out, depending how long they been in the game, and so on and so forth. And it's really questionable too, because I remember I only for like the Magic packs, I only opened over, I have to say, like somewhere between 5 to 6, roughly. I only got two shiny foils from that packs, and those two cards were a literal penny. And whereas for Yu-Gi-Oh standards, you could basically like open up a pack, guaranteed shiny inside, and that one shiny you think would be cost more somehow doesn't, and it's like literal chump change. It is absolutely crazy. But like I said in the Buddy Fight economy, no wait, the last podcast episode I made about the card game Buddy Fight, the card economy is extremely both, sorry, is extremely both controversial and extremely confusing, because you would think to yourself, okay, how does this one card that I have in my hand that withstood the test of times, that I left it in its sleeve for roughly 5 years, somehow cost over only 20 cents, whereas this card that's been recently printed costs over $200? And Konami, as greedy as they are, they do make really nice reprints here and there once in a while. Like, for example, back onto a card called, or no, I didn't mention the cards. One card in particular called Infernity Mirage. That one card is really good because the archetype it's based around requires you to have zero cards in your hand. And it has an ability where if you have no cards in your hand, you contribute it. Target two Infernity monsters in your graveyard, special summon them. That really good card roughly costed over $11. And with the recent box that came out for Yu-Gi-Oh, slash that price to literal pennies. And holy smokes, that's actually really happy to hear, because To begin with, Yu-Gi-Oh! Is not a cheap card game to get into. And really, that's one thing that gets me, and probably a lot of players as well, because if you're like interested in a deck, like say, oh, this deck seems really cool, where it has interesting card designs, interesting monsters, interesting mechanics, and you're like, do, I'm looking up the price of this card and this deck, and your jaw drops after seeing the price of one of specific cards you may need for that deck. Let's take another deck, for example, called Dragon Maids, right? So Dragon Maids was obviously based off the based off the anime, some Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, I believe it was called. And really, it was a really interesting deck because it revolved around like low level monsters able to special summon higher level monsters from your hand by switching them out. In theory, the idea was to turn them into dragons, much like in the anime. And like there was three important cards for the deck. One of them was, I believe, Dragon Maid Nurse, Dragon Maid Kitchen, and Dragon Maid Parlor, I think that's what it's called. Now, those three important cards, when they were first released, were expensive as hell. Now, to begin with, I just want to say, no one says you have to spend like over $1 billion or over $1,000 just to invest in a specific ass deck because it's gonna bite you in the ass. But really, if you are interested in the deck, it's completely outrageous seeing how Konami is just literally short printing some of these important ass cards for a deck, even though if they can be good or not. But if it's required, it's kind of pointless and stupid seeing how they just, you know what, we are gonna literally short print this one card because we can. And it's honestly stupid. It really is. But honestly, besides that, there are a plethora of other decks you can do or play that doesn't involve you breaking the literal bank and letting you play the game to play the game. But I'll get into the other subject after this, but let's continue on. The card game has really built up to a lot of different things. Where in the anime as well, besides the card game that I'll talk about in a little bit, it honestly gotten quite complicated in the anime because at first in the anime, it was like destroying your enemies with logic. And even though that Yu-Gi-Oh! In real life didn't have, no, yes, it did have its own set of rules to begin with. Like, say, you only can normal summon a monster once per turn. You could summon up to five. You can't normal summon more than once per turn. Each player take a turn. If this monster has a higher attack value or than this monster's attack or defense, you could destroy it, and so on and so forth, right? No, not in the original, that is, because for some reason, they literally would defeat each other by defeating each other with the power of logic and reasoning for some damn reason. And I don't know, like, and you would think to yourself, okay, how do I play this game again after seeing the anime? And you're like, this doesn't make any sense. How did that guy do that, but I can't do that in real life? It's like, what the hell, right? But later on, it has gotten more complicated. Like, not in GX era, it stayed pretty simple, somewhat. It stayed pretty simple to that one, but to 5Ds, it got I want to say a whole lot of her started getting a whole lot of heresy, a whole lot of heresy, where they started playing the card game on bikes. You heard it right, on bikes. And I kind of agree with a lot of YouTubers or like people that talk about the card game in the anime, for this example was, why are they going so fast on these motorcycles and playing a children's card game? Because they're going so fast, wouldn't it make more sense if they would go so fast to a point where the cards started flying off the bikes? And when if they didn't have like autopilot or whatever, wouldn't they be able to get themselves into accidents because of it? It's like, what the heck? And in Zexal, it got even more complicated with the idea of other worlds out there and like exploring different dimensions and so on. Like there's this place called Baryon World and there's this place called Astral World. It's really crazy, but oh my God. Arc 5 is where it got even more complicated because in the original, it was simple, kind of. Not really, maybe. In the original, it was kind of simple. In this one, it's like, okay, the main character says, I am going to defeat this interdimensional war with my dueling. And it's like, oh my God, what am I listening to anymore? And just for the record, even though that the mangas of each of the series can be di sorry, each in even though that the manga is different than the anime, the manga for Arc 5 is even more complicated than the anime, and I'm not even gonna get into that shit. I'm not even gonna get into that, but you guys listen to some of this shit on the television or like go on Hulu, YouTube, whatever, and tell me that some of this stuff is ridiculous. Or Reigns, it was, I mean, it kind of makes sense when you think about it. I mean, a AI that will eventually like destroy human society or like society will eventually collapse on itself does make sense, but to defeat an AI in dueling is like, you know what? No, I'm not gonna get into that. Break time. Let's get into the break. And we are back. So, besides all the good things about the card game, some of you may be thinking, okay, so what deck do you recommend to a lot of players? And honestly, that is a very, to me personally, that's a very controversial topic because a lot of decks specifically have their own ups and downs. A lot of decks have their own uniqueness to them. And really, to say what deck is the best for beginners is honestly up to the person, really, because, like, what deck sounds a lot more interesting to them? Like, what rules or mechanics does this deck have that sounds really better to them? Or how does it, the mechanics of this cards work? And so on and so forth, right? But besides that, Yu-Gi-Oh! As a card game, I would argue, is fucked. It is so fucked to a point that I'm scared for the card game eventually being canceled on itself due to the lack of scary combos that it has. It's to a point it's not even funny and just downright freaking scary to me as a card collector and connoisseur of the damn card game. It's too complicated. No one wants to play a deck where involved. Instead of having like simple, awesome other cards that they could still be able to play and make meta related, I saw a guy who built a deck around X-Sabers. Now, X-Sabers were a pretty big thing. Now, he made that deck meta relevant and it could still be able to do the dishing blow. But what matters is who the hell goes first, is the scary thing. And really, if that guy goes first, he's literally gonna play solitaire for himself for like 20 hours, where you could be doing anything else, come back, and he probably still isn't gonna be finishing. It is a too complicated game to even get into at the beginning. Now, they try to do this with an app of theirs called Yu-Gi-Oh! Speed Duels and Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Links, where it tries to make the game a little bit simpler, but it doesn't really. And not only that, they even made cards like pendulums, which everyone could agree with me who does play Yu-Gi-Oh! Fucked the card game to begin with. And they try to make the game a little bit slower by introducing the links with the original rule known as Master Rule 4, where if you want to special summon any monster from the extra deck, you have to special summon it where a monster with a Link's markers are pointing to it. So, like if it's pointing a Link marker down, you can only special summon one monster from the extra deck pointing to that marker. You can't special summon it anywhere else. And it's like really, really annoying. And that didn't even help the card game. It didn't even make it slower. In fact, it made it worse because it literally locked a lot of card games or like a lot of decks that rely on the extra deck out, and it made it more cloggy and more confusing for a lot of other decks to begin with. And not only that, there are three problematic cards in mind that I want to go over that's absolute horrid to me, to think of the least. And I think these cards need to be banned right away before anything gets too worse. So, these three cards I'm talking about are Utopic Zexal, Red Dragon Dragoon, and Needle Fibrex. So, let's go over one card known as Needle Fibrex first. It is a Link 2 monster that's a water machine type, and it requires a one monster and one tuner monster. Pretty simple, right? So, why is this card very controversial? Is it's able to basic. It's basically helping you able to get more tuner monsters that I'm not going to get into yet, wherever, onto the field. So that's pretty nice, and it actually does help a lot of other synchro decks that rely on these cards known as tuners, getting them out on their field, summoning them, and getting into their boss monsters, right? Right. And but really, it's scary to know that people could also abuse the living shit out of the card and basically make fields and boards that could basically say no to everything. Now, Konami has responded to some of these issues by banning cards like, say, Glow Up Ball, Rocket Synchron, and another one called Mecha Phantom Beast Leo, or Lion to begin with, I believe. But even though that doesn't actually solve the problem, because there are other cards that can just basically do more than just those other three cards could do. Like, for example, let's take two different cards, and I'll tell you what they could be able to do. So, one is called DD Lamia, and another one is called Reptilian Lamia. Now, they're both different in two ways. One's Reptilian, the other one is a Fiend type, and the other one is a level 2, whereas DD Lamia is a level 1. Now, how are these cards so similar to one another? And the answer is they have different ways of special summoning themselves from the hand. Now, special summoning is a way where they can either activate it by effect or other specific requirements are met. And the best part about it is it doesn't eat up your normal summon. Whereas DD Lamia, you can basically pitch a monster, a DD monster, or a card called Dark Contract from your hand or field to the graveyard to special summon it from your hand or graveyard, but banish it when it leaves the field, right? So this card could be abused by either having another card called DD King Augustus special summon it from the graveyard. You could abuse it by searching it for it from Where Art Thou or summoning it from 1/1, right? But for the other Lamia, if all your monsters you control are level 2, I mean are reptilian types, you can target one monster your opponent controls, you can special summon that card, but you have to take the full damage of the original attack of that monster, and that monster's attack becomes 0. Now, even though these cards are completely different, they have their own unique ways of special summoning themselves from either their hand, deck, or even graveyard. And to be completely honest, I'm scared knowing the fact that Konami might as well start banning nearly half of the good tuners out there in Yu-Gi-Oh! And say, you know what? This might have been a bad idea. Let's start banning more tuner monsters. Just be safe so no one could play any deck whatsoever. Now, that's my own issue with Needle Fibrex to begin with. The next card I want to talk about is a card known as Utopic Zexal. Oh my god, the nightmares with this card. So, Utopic Zexal is a pretty much a complicated card on its own. It's an Xyz monster, requires several monsters with the same rank to special summon itself. It has no rank, and it gains attack and defense points times 1,000 equals to the number of Xyz materials it has. So it was a hard card to bring out to begin with because you needed two monsters with the same rank, not levels, to bring out, Special Summon itself by overlaying those two. And if you take into account with the card that, no, yeah. If you take into account the original Master Rule 4, where you need a Link monster to basically special summon any other monster from your extra deck to that monster where it points to, it kind of is like hindering out a bit. However, ever since a card or a box known as Armageddon came out, it changed everything. And with Master Rule 5 being out, it also made things even more complicated because people are now able to basically special summon any of their cards from the extra deck, doesn't matter which ones, but Links and what's it called? Pendulums don't have to oblige the same rule. Could special summon their monsters wherever they damn so please. But what makes this card problematic to begin with is its ability, where you can basically detach one material from this card and your opponent basically can't do nothing. They literally cannot do a single damn thing about it. They cannot do anything about it. And it is a really, really frustrating card. So, how can people bring this one card out, you may think? Well, there is two card combo known as the numeric combo, I like to call it. So basically, there's these two cards that came out of the box called Duelist Legends Armageddon called Numeron Network and Numeron Calling. Numeron Network is a surprisingly cheap, somewhat card, only costing over $3, whereas Numeron Calling is a card that roughly costs over 50 cents at best, maybe. But what Numeron Calling does is if you have Numeron Network on your field, you can basically special summon monsters from Numerons 1 to 4 that are the same rank to your field for free. You don't even need to perform Xyz summon. You don't need to even get like cards from their deck outs. You don't need to get like level ones. You can basically summon them for free, right? Well, that's the scary thing. Ever since these cards are able to get out, and since there are other cards like say terraforming to search out for Numeron Network, and there's also other what ways of basically getting certain other cards like say Numeron no Utopic Zexal out on the field, it's even more scary to think because, to be honest, this is a card that I thought that would always keep me up at night for the entirety of the card game because a card that basically lets you cancel the entire game for your opponent is absolutely frightening to me. And not only that, if you add in the fact that I just said that this card of Numeron Network and Numeron Calling are fairly cheap, basically anyone is able to get it and it's able to be open to more people, and more people are most likely going to abuse the living shit out of it. Now let's get on to the last card that I find to be problematic. This card is known as Red Eyes Dragoon. So there is a basic combo where there's this Link monster known as Predaplant Anaconda, I think. And basically what it's able to let you to do is you can able to send any card that's a polymerization or has the name Fusion in its name to the graveyard, and it has that ability. So like say if you just like send polymerization from your hand from your deck to the graveyard, you automatically can use it for that monster. And you're able to fusion summon it by using you it or others to the for it to as material. There is a card known as Red Eyes Fusion, and that card is able to let you basically send monsters from your deck to the graveyard to fill in the specific requirements, right? So what people are able to do is, after they get into Anaconda, they use its effect, send Red Eyes Fusion to the graveyard, and then special summon into Red Eyes Dragoon. And it is a really problematic card because it's unaffected by card effects. It cannot be targeted, I think. And not only that, when your opponent tries to activate a card effect, they can basically negate it with that card, and it gains 1,000 attack points. It is a really scary card to begin with, and much like Utopic Zexal, it's expensive though, so probably not that many people are gonna be willing to spend that much money on it to begin with, but many probably do have the card to begin with. And what's scary to know is that this card could just negate anything, and it's so simple, it's so easy to get the card out, is what scares me the most. Overall, the card game does have its own highs, lows, and extremely questionable moments, but honestly, even though if Konami just like bans a certain card, like say for example, I don't know, the I draw two card and like ban other cards, if they release more problematic cards, it's not really solving the issue of what is happening. And the same goes for like current cards that are, or like current decks that are already out there. Even though that some people may not have the cards, or like some people could be like, oh, this is a budget $30 deck. And yet, I'm still gonna get destroyed by this man who most likely has a deck that's twice as stronger than this deck here. It's still a issue I feel with the card game entirely. And there are issues where the Konami has to literally stop sniffing everyone's wallets and be like, ooh, we're gonna make this card over $500. And really think about what is best for the card game somewhat. But lastly, I just want to say before I finish, they have kind of rebooted the entire card game with a form of Yu-Gi-Oh! Rush. So basically, Yu-Gi-Oh! Rush is kind of like another version of Yu-Gi-Oh! Speed Duel slash Duel Links. It's a little bit different, but not entirely. It completely changes the entire format of the game, and really, it just makes things extremely more, I want to say, complicated than it already needs to be, because Yu-Gi-Oh! Was already a pain in the ass card game to understand, but basically, it has its own rules, it has its own unique mechanics that make it stand out, and really, it is something that changes the identity of Yu-Gi-Oh! Entirely. And it has no extra deck, from what I'm aware of. Tries to go back to the original with monsters with low attack points, some with high attack points, and so on and so forth. And it really just tries to go to the original, like the first Yu-Gi-Oh! Before a card that I found out about yesterday. Not gonna get into that. But yeah, before I end the podcast again, I just want to say I'd like to thank all my listeners who were listening to the podcast. I would also like to thank my sponsor for today, Anchor. And if you guys know anyone who is interested in some of the stuff I talk about on the podcast, please tell them to come on down. The help will be greatly appreciated. And remember, y'all, geek is fleek.